We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But they're not going to be. Remember last year there was the Bryce Harper chase down?
Yeah.
And we built scenarios. Hey, we think they're going to tear it to the studs. But wait a minute. Bryce, I don't think there's going to be any of that false flag stuff. But I think there's going to be a lot of churn.
False flag.
I know.
That's like a false front and a par four.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to carry that thing back to the pin.
Who's famous for that? Is it Pete Dye that loves the false fronts?
Got to love the false front.
Pete Dye. Pete Dye, you crazy, you know what. All right, so today, John Clayton, NFL Insider Extraordinaire, less than an hour at 8 o'clock. Terrell Owens, it's Tuesday, so we do it every Tuesday at 8:30. Terrell Owens will join the show. Ian Williams, good friend of the program, coming in at 9 o'clock in studio for an hour to talk Niners. One of the topics we will talk about is this. Seahawks 37, Vikings 30. That's your Monday Night Football result. More on that game in a bit, but I want to talk about this. If the season ends today, not only are the Niners the 5 seed, here is what the playoff matchups look like. The Saints are your 1 seed with a bye. The Seahawks are your 2 seed with a bye. Wild card game number 1, Green Bay as a 3 seed against Minnesota as a 6. Wild card game number 2, Dallas as a 4 seed hosting the San Francisco 49ers. So just let that marinate for a second. That's where we're at today. The Niners would be in Dallas for game number 1. Minnesota would be in Green Bay for wild card number 2. Plenty of scenarios could play out. If you go to Dallas and you win that game, and if Green Bay, as the favorite at home, takes care of business against Minnesota, it would be Seattle taking on the Vikings, and you would be traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints. So the first two games out of the chute at the playoffs end today, you'd have to go to Dallas and win, and then most likely you're going to New Orleans and winning. How do you feel about this scenario? Because then the championship game, if you survive, is probably in Seattle. Or perhaps if Minnesota runs through as the 6th seed, you could host them. Very crazy scenarios. How do you feel about the Niner chances of getting the Super Bowl?
You feel okay because you know you have an elite team. And you realize that this has happened before. This, Jim, is just the third time in the Super Bowl era that the NFL has had 5 teams with 10 or more wins after 12 games.
Hey, you looked it up.
I did look it up.
Nicely done.
And his own charts, Joe.
I wanted
Come
to bring
on.
A
Don't
trivia question to you because it happened.
Trivia question.
It happened in 1975, and it happened in 2015. In 2015, who were the 5 teams that had 10 or more wins after 12 games?
All right, so first and foremost.
And this is for both of you, Jim, and those of you driving at home.
All right, so let's work our way through it. 2015 means it was the 2016 Super Bowl, which would mean that was the Patriots over the Falcons?
Was that the Shanahan Super Bowl?
No.
Wait.
Because that was, Chubbs was born in 2017. That was the Patriot. So it was the one before that. So it was the Super Bowl. It was here. Would it have been here?
Was that the one? Was that the Carolina-Denver? Was that the one here?
Carolina. Well, he can't answer that.
Okay.
He just asked the trivia question. We have to work our way through it. So if it's Carolina. Well, wait, we just had Super Bowl 53, right? 53 or 53 coming
Where's
up.
Rick
How old
Tittle?
Is Rick Tittle?
How old is Rick
How
Tittle?
How old is Rick Tittle? Let's just 54. Go back in order.
54.
This is 54 coming up?
He's Rick Tittle's 54. So that I know. So we've had 54 Super Bowls.
I don't know if that's accurate. See, now we're already bogged down because we can't even figure out what's happening.
What was the Super Bowl after Patriots-Falcons?
Eagles. Eagles-Patriots. And then it was this past one, which was Patriots and Rams. So you go Patriots, Rams, backwards, it's Eagles over Patriots. That was a great Super Bowl for those who
Maybe
didn't watch
the greatest
it.
Of all time.
Probably the greatest of all time. Probably. Philly special, still living in the hearts of and minds of many, not those in
this
Miami.
This is a great filibuster.
Yeah, well, it's
in the 2015
vomiting
season,
as many words as possible.
5 teams had 10 or more wins after week 13, which is 12 games of play. Who are those 5 teams?
Okay, so 18.
Today's trivia question.
Let me just work it through. 18 is the Super Bowl. Wait, it would be 19 was Falcons. 19 was Patriots and
Rams.
Rams.
Right.
18 was Eagles, Patriots.
Yep.
17 was Patriots, Falcons. That was 17, which means 16 is the one before that, which I'm almost positive was then the
Patriots, Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken.
Was that Patriots, Seahawks? For the Seahawks part two?
No, Patriots didn't go to 4 in a row. That would have been 4 in a row. The Patriots didn't go to 4 in a row. I think that was the Carolina-Denver game, okay. Wasn't it?
Yeah, at Levi's.
Before that, Denver. It was Seattle and the Patriots because that was in Arizona.
All right.
So if that was 16, that means two of the teams were probably Denver and Carolina because Carolina was red freaking hot. So we'll go with Carolina. All right, so that was the year. It took 20 minutes before we got the Super Bowl.
Carolina was 12-0 after week 13 that year.
And you're saying there were five teams that were 10-2?
Four other teams had 10 wins after 12 games that season.
And how many guesses do we get? Do we just have to go 5 for 5?
No, we'll give you three incorrect, because I think this is a tough question, as we've gotten 5 years removed.
So let's also go with Denver, because they were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were 10-2 after 12 games. You have three teams to go.
All right, so who did Carolina beat in the NFC Championship game? That year.
Carolina.
I know they beat Seattle early in the playoffs. I want to say that was the divisional round.
And hopefully you're not mining Carolina. The text line over there, Jim.
No.
Brilliant, billions of listeners.
Nope. That's cheating.
And remember, you probably always have to consider the Patriots. I'm not saying that's a guess just yet, but you have to consider them as one of our picks. In fact, you know what? Give me the Patriots.
They also were 10-2.
Solid pick.
Yeah, they lost the AFC Championship game that
two
year.
Two teams also had 10 wins after 12 games that season.
All right, so we're hot. We got five guesses to get two more here. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. You have to figure, if it was the Patriots and the Broncos in the AFC Championship, who else was involved that season? The Chargers probably had a great... The Chargers are notoriously great in the regular season. File them away.
Yes.
Under C for Chargers.
Under C. Who did Carolina beat in the NFC Championship game?
Did they beat Seattle?
I think that was the divisional game.
That was the divisional game?
I think they played them in the divisional round and beat them.
I love watching
soundly.
You put yourself back in time to where you were and who you bet on in that game. And how did you feel about that loss or that win?
Who did they host? That must have been a lousy game. Or it's going to turn out to be this great game. I was Arizona involved with Carson Palmer? Damn. In the NFC East?
I thought Arizona Giants was involved, but it was earlier in the playoffs where they got dinged.
Five teams in 2015 had 10 or more wins after week 13. You've gotten three of them.
We got the three we had were Carolina, Denver, and New England. So there's got to be another one in the NFC.
There has to be. New Orleans is notoriously good. But were they that good at the time? You know what I mean?
I don't think so. I think that was when they were on their down years, and then they got Kamara and Thomas, and they turned it around, and they went back to the playoffs. I don't know if they were a 10-win team that year. Who went to Carolina in the NFC Championship game?
Got an owl in here all of a sudden.
Wasn't the Cowboys.
Couldn't have been. It definitely wasn't Dallas. That would require at least one playoff win.
Up in just really moments, Bonte Stein and Guru with the answer. Ian Williams at 9.
That was pre-Doug Peterson, so there was no way they were winning.
PDP.
Washington and the Giants. Were the Giants any good? They wouldn't have been down there. Green Bay's a possibility.
But
you got to worry about the – it wasn't the Bears. It definitely wasn't the Lions. The Vikings with Zimmer early on. Seattle, the Rams, Arizona. Arizona stands out. Green Bay stands out. Chargers stand out.
I mean
– Pittsburgh's one to consider, but I don't know.
Saskatchewan had a good team.
Those are a lot of the usual suspects, though. Those are a lot of the same teams that tend to be good.
Let's take a stab. Who would you take a stab on? Let's start with one of our guesses in the NFC, because there's got to be at least one other NFC team.
I would be torn between the Packers and Saints.
We'll take the Packers. All right. Interesting.
Packers were not one of the 10-win teams.
Arizona. Yes.
Get out of here.
Yes.
The Cardinals were 10-2.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Tough.
Did they play him in the NFC champ? You can't answer that. That's not fair. So we've got four.
Bruce
we need
Arians
one more.
And company.
We got four. We need one more.
One more. You got two misses to go.
Where the Chiefs weren't hot back then. That was pre-Mahomes. Could Alex Smith have managed them to 10-2?
Is that a guess?
That's a question. The rhetorical question.
These sound like you're doing does Low know? That's we're just wondering
no,
is that
great.
A question or
it's
not?
It's always fun when Joey trivia question has to be on the other side because
he
takes it seriously. He wants to get it right.
Yeah. And the thing is the text line's up, so you see the eyes like this. I do everything I can
you're
in my
legit.
Power. It's all about being honest. We're about integrity
over.
Above all else.
I'm off the text line. I'm not on that page. But
of course, the only contribution you had was wrong.
Then you can't see anyway.
I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm not. I'm of no assistance.
All right, possible
here.
Contenders here. The Chargers would be one to consider, in my opinion. The Steelers would be one you would have to consider. In the AFC
would the
South.
Chiefs, would the Chiefs be in? You mentioned Alex Smith.
Okay, keep the Chiefs in there. Seattle, in the divisional game, I mean, that would have meant they fell off late in the year. I don't think the Bears, Lions, or Vikings were good enough because I don't remember. The NFC East, we have no contender from the NFC East on this one. None. I can't imagine one of them went 10-2. We got two more guesses. What do we have? Two more guesses to get one?
Yep.
What do you want? What are you thinking? You go ahead and take one.
No. You're killing me. I'm 0-1 in this battle.
Yeah, that's the point. You get them all wrong, I get them all right, and you end
and
up
then,
being the
exactly.
fall guy.
And you
I'm
know
Chris
what?
Carter, and you're the fall guy.
2015.
Yep. Thank you for that speech at the
We're
NFL
looking for teams that had
symposium.
10 or more wins after week 13 in 2015. They've gotten 4 of the 5.
Okay, 4
One
of the 5.
One to go.
And just give me the 4 real quick.
You've gotten New England, Denver, Carolina, and Arizona. And by you, I mean Joe.
Yes, exactly.
Use guys.
I'm going...
The Broncos were obviously the dominant team in the AFC West. I don't know. What do you think? Go ahead and take a stab.
Take one. Take a stab.
You take one, I'll take one, and we'll be done.
All right, Saints.
Chargers. Damn, who is it?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Never would have gotten that.
The Bengals.
I wouldn't
good
have gotten
question.
That. I wouldn't have gotten that at
good
all.
Good trivia question.
If you spotted
I forgot
me,
that they were good
it's
at one
a team
point.
In Ohio. I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
would say good trivia Ohio question. State. That's an excellent trivia
damn.
Question.
And that's
yeah.
what,
damn.
Just looking at the
is that
research,
the year they lost to the Steelers? Like, what happened? Who was in the NFC
Cincinnati
Championship?
Cincinnati loses to Pittsburgh, 18-16.
That was the meltdown game.
And then Pittsburgh loses to Denver. That's the Peyton Manning Super Bowl where they beat Carolina. Carolina rocks Arizona in the NFC Championship, 49-15.
Was that when
Carson
Arizona,
was out, wasn't he?
Was that when Arizona played Green Bay in the playoffs and there was the Hail Mary from Rodgers at the end and then the Arizona just went right down the field yeah. in overtime? And hit Larry Fitzgerald for the touchdown.
26-20 at home. Carolina beat Seattle in the other game. But fascinating that Cincinnati has fallen that far in just a short number of years.
Who won the NFC East?
That was Washington, I think. It was a 9-7 Washington
what?
Redskins team. Yeah. The Skins at 9-7.
What would have been more likely to get, that the Redskins won that division or that the Bengals went 10-2?
That's a tough call. That's a tough call.
And it just
Holy
reminds you
moly.
How topsy-turvy this NFL could be, because at the time, the Niners were basically left for dead. They finished up that season at 5-11.
Okay, so originally we were laying out the playoff scenario. So you're talking about all how many 10-2 teams are there right now?
There are 5 teams with 10 wins.
And this is the last time we saw 5 teams with 10 wins. 10 wins after 12
2015
weeks.
And 1975 it happened. That was a 14-game schedule, so those teams were even nastier.
This would be the ultimate Super Bowl year if you came out of nowhere, you won like 14 games, you end up in a scenario where you're stuck as the number 5 seed, and then you just go on the road to Dallas as a 13 or 14 win team, you beat them. Then you go on the road to the Saints, you beat them again after beating them in the regular season. Then you go to Seattle and beat them, and then you get the rematch against the Ravens in the Super Bowl and you win that. Like, that would be the ultimate Super Bowl year, and it would be the great moment of catharsis for this team where you started the year with everyone doubting you. Well, you haven't played anyone. And then down the stretch, you played everybody. From December through February, you literally took on everybody. You beat some of them twice, and you had to go through the wild card route as a 13-win team to win the Super Bowl. Like, that would be the ultimate double barrel, you know what, to all society who doubted this team early on when they were winning games.
And only 6 wild card teams have ever won the Super Bowl, so you would add yourself maybe to the top of that list as far as most impressive ones if you had to go beat at that point, what, a 13 or 14 win Saints and a 15 win Seattle, and then you knock off Baltimore, who might be a 16 win Baltimore at that point.
Hey, I'm tracking with both of you guys. My ultimate scenario for the 49ers is exactly what's happening. A really tough loss to Baltimore. And at the end of the year, with maybe first place on the line, a tough loss in Seattle. Because when you beat Seattle in the playoffs and then you go and win the Super Bowl over Baltimore, those are going to taste even sweeter. If you're writing a script, it's the most improbable, but to me, the best topsy-turvy. You will really have a roller coaster ride if it plays out like that.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Seattle is a house of cards. They are not anywhere
really?
Near as good as that
really?
Record indicates.
Come on!
I'm not calling them a fraud, but if you want anyone who wanted to sit here and say the Niners were not worth any of the recognition or the accolades early in the season, these guys are primed to get their face kicked in. The numbers do not support the record. They are 10-2, but they are outscoring the opposition by 36 points this year. They have a plus 36 point differential. Now, number one, through 12 weeks, a plus 36 point differential is indicative of a 6 or 7 win team. So they're already 3 games over their expectation. Number one. Number two, their point differential is 10th best. So you're telling me they're tied for best record in the NFL, but their point differential is 10th best. Huh. Interesting. Now let's take a look at how they perform at home. They have played 6 games at home this season. 6. They have been outscored by 5 points. 6 games at home, grand total, -5 scoring differential. They have what I refer to as 10 one-play games. They've played 12 games this year, 10 of which one play flips everything. Nobody else has played in that many one-play games. Right? One play meaning one score game.
Right.
They have played in 10 of them this year. The Patriots have played in 4 one-play games. Baltimore's played in 5 one-play games. The Niners have played in 4. The Saints have played in 7. The Chiefs have played in 8. Green Bay's played in 6. Minnesota's played in 5. 10 of Seattle's 12 games. 10 of them. And they have 10 wins. One-play games. One play could have flipped everything. They are built on a house of cards. They are going to fall apart. I'm not saying they lose 4 in a row. I'm saying when the moment gets real big and they end up losing 21-6 at home and everyone goes, oh, what happened? Seattle was so great. They're not. It's they have a great quarterback. They have a great coach. They are not a great football team.
I'll give you this one. If you're gonna buy what Joe's selling, I still think they win the division, Seattle. I still think they go in feeling good. But I could definitely see the way you play it out. They get the home playoff game, and they get bounced. Their 2 losses have been at CenturyLink.
Yes.
But it's the 2 good teams, New Orleans and Baltimore. And Baltimore smoked them. Smoked them. So if you're buying what Joe's selling, boy, imagine that. The 49ers lose the division. The Seahawks get home field. They get the bye, get the home field, and get bounced in round 1 this year.
It's possible because this is a historic season for the NFL in that there are this many truly elite teams. And even though Seattle may be a house of cards, the regression might not come till next year. We know that in one score games, you're most likely going to be 55 to 60% if you're a good team, 45 to 40% if you're a bad team. Seattle right now is what, 9-1 in one score games? They're extraordinary. So does the regression come in December, January, or not until next September? Because we saw it with the Niners and the turnover differential. You said there's no way they could be as bad as they were last year and plus minus.
Mathematically, you just can't be.
And Cleveland did the same thing the year before. So Seattle's regression is coming. Does it come this month, next month, or not till next year?
Moose in San Jose disagrees with my take on the Seahawks. Moose, welcome to the show. Thank you for the phone call. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, Joe. So I was going to say, Seattle, the last 7 or 8 years, you're coming with all the legitimate analytics. The point differential is obviously correct. The numbers are what they are, but I think with this Seattle team, it's more about the eye test. The eye test shows what they've shown in the last 6-7 years in the playoffs and the regular season. It's Pete Carroll. It's a strong coach, a high IQ coach, and a damn good quarterback at the end of the day. I'm a Niner fan saying it. I don't put this team to bed. This team can do what they want to do in the last stretch of the fourth quarter, 5 minutes left the game, defensively, offensively. They somehow find a way. They pull it off. With this team, I throw the analytics out of the way. Eye test tells me they can win any game they want.
That's very interesting.
They just do it.
No, you're right. And you know what? In one score games, Seattle's got the best player on the field. Russell Wilson could easily be the MVP if Lamar Jackson isn't doing Lamar Jackson things. They've got the best player on the field. So if you told me they're going to play nothing but one score games in the playoffs, I'll take Seattle because they got the best player in the field.
Pass on that. Let's go through some of those one-score games. They beat the Bengals by 1 at home. The Bengals had the lead and collapsed in that game. They beat the Steelers by 2 in Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger got hurt in the first half of that game. They lost to the Saints and Teddy Bridgewater at home. They beat the Cardinals by 17. Congratulations. The Cardinals are a real tough team. They beat the Rams by 1 at home on Thursday night when the Rams missed a 43-yard field goal to win that game.
Old
at the
Legatron.
End. Cleveland, they beat by 4 in Cleveland, where the Browns did everything they could for 55 minutes to give that game away. Watch that game. Every decision Freddie Kitchens made in that game was wrong. Baltimore comes into their house and hammers them by 14. They go beat the Falcons by 7 in Atlanta. Another one-score game. Tampa has them the entire way. They needed overtime at home to get by the Bucs, who are traveling from the other side of the planet. The Niners miss a field goal to win the game at the end, which could have put them away there. And then the Eagle game, the Eagles stink. There was that. That's a good Seattle win, but they still only beat them by 8. And Minnesota last night has a 7-point lead and then defecates all over themselves.
Wow.
And still late in that game when they had a chance, they gave it away. They couldn't convert on 4th. They got the ball back on the kick return, and they immediately fumbled it. The Seattle team, They're not what you think they are. Now, marinate on that because there are a lot of people that want to talk about
it. Yeah, they do.
Let's open up the phones. 888-957-9570. I want to hear from both sides. No shills on this radio station. We put all the honest opinions to the front of the line. 888-957-9570. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Dialpad. Good friends of ours. We're going to go to the Dialpad guest line later today to talk to John Clayton at 8, Terrell Owens at 8:30. Ian Williams will be in studio. Buckle up. Light them up. You're coming up next. Joe, Coz, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs featuring Jim Cosimore.
You are filthy.
On 95.7 The Game.
We struck a nerve. Phone lines are juiced, so we're going to turn it over to the billions. The number's 888-957-9570. But first, a reminder. John Clayton, NFL insider extraordinaire, coming up at 8 o'clock. Terrell Owens in 1 hour at 8:30. I do not believe the Seattle Seahawks are as big of a threat as many currently feel. I know that's difficult. You're coming off a Monday night game where you watch them on national TV beat up on the Vikings. They're 10-2. They've got a great pedigree, a phenomenal coach, and an out-of-this-world quarterback. I just don't believe they're as tough as their record indicates.
I believe you called them a house of cards, Joe.
House of cards. The house of cards is going to come tumbling down. The numbers do not support what they have been doing. The Baltimore Ravens are a 10-2 football team this year, okay? Their point differential is plus 187. The New England Patriots are 10-2. Their point differential is plus 177. The New Orleans Saints are 10-2 with a point differential of plus 50. The Niners are 10-2 with a point differential of plus 166. And then there's the Seahawks, 10-2, point differential of plus 36. This matters. Bill James was the one who revolutionized the viewpoints on point differential, applied it to the Pythagorean expectation formula. Don't worry about that. But that's a good indicator of how to predict future successes and failures for teams. Are you as good as your record indicates? Baltimore? Yes. San Francisco? Yes. Seattle? No. No, not in my opinion. And at home this year, through six games, you have been outscored by 5 points. Tell me that's not suspicious. Tell me all these games where you say Seattle finds a way to win. I don't believe it. That Cincinnati game, the Bengals found a way to lose. The Steelers found a way to lose. The Rams found a way to miss that field goal. There's one play in 10 of 12 games that if it goes the other way, the Seahawks lose. You could be looking at a team right now that's got 4 wins, but no one wants to acknowledge that. I understand. I don't think the home field is as tough as it used to be. Kirk Cousins had more success there last night than he would have 3-4 years ago when the Legion of Boom existed. I think maybe if they win the division, so be it. You can still get him in the playoffs. And this isn't just from a pro Niner perspective. This is from an anybody perspective. I don't think this Seattle team is as tough as the record indicates.
And I think the regression is coming, Joe. You're right, and you lay out a good mathematical case, but it's just a question of when does it happen, because their schedule the rest of the way is not so daunting that you can't see them going 3-1 or 4-0. And if they get the home field, if they're the top seed, the teams that have the home game in the divisional round win at about a 72% clip. So that's a fact as well. Even if they are a, quote, house of cards, if they win the West, if they get the top seed, even if they get the 2 seed and they get a week to prepare, I like what Jim was saying earlier about the Russell Wilson factor. That's part of the causation as to why they've won these close games is because he's a baller.
I disagree with the fact that their schedule, I think you believe it's a little bit easier. I don't think it's as easy. The LA Rams are playing for their playoff lives, so it's going to be a playoff game on a short week, I might add.
Look at you.
Very nice.
Exactly.
Look at you,
I thought I'd lob that in for you. Okay, then you've got to go 3,000 miles to Carolina. I know they're not great this year, but still, traveling late in the season, not going to be easy on
you. That's their fifth trip to the Eastern time zone.
Then you're coming back home for Arizona, where you may maybe have the next version of Russell Wilson that you're going to take on at Kyler Murray, if in fact he's healthy by that time. I know his hamstring has been bothering him, slowed him down. And then you finish with the San Francisco 49ers. I think all four of those games are difficult for various reasons, so I don't think they're going to be able to just have a layup line going into down the finish line. I think they're going to have to do some damage and play hard in order to keep the top spot in the division.
My point is that I hope the Seahawks keep winning so that the Niners are a nice, sizable dog for Week 17, and then we can bet them on the money line when they end up winning that game, because that's exactly what will happen. Someone else is going to go in there and get them as well. Baltimore went in there and took their lunch money, and that was before everyone was even giving Lamar Jackson all that much credit. Teddy Bridgewater went in there and beat him. The Bengals almost went in there and beat him. Jameis freaking Winston had him on the ropes. He took him to overtime. What are we missing here? The Rams, if they make a field goal, if the Niners make a field goal, if two teams, two good football teams make reasonable field goals, this team is 8-4 instead of 10-2. And no one's calling up to talk trash to me right now. That had nothing to do with Seattle. Those guys, the Rams missing that field goal and the Niners missing that field goal had literally nothing to do with Seattle. They benefited from that by doing nothing.
All right, let me throw this at you, Jim. On the 49ers side of things. Wait a minute. I could build the same case in the Pittsburgh game when the 49ers lucked into a victory in that one because Pittsburghed all over themselves, and twice against Arizona, once down there on the short week where they were lucky to get the victory there, and then they come back home and Arizona was stealing their lunch money at Levi's Stadium. So both of these teams have had a couple of games that
way. I agree. The point is more for Seattle. They've played in 10 one-score games. There's one play in 10 Seattle games that if it goes the other way, they lose. For the Niners, there's only four of those. For the Baltimore Ravens, there's only five. For the Saints, there's seven. For the Chiefs, there's eight. For the Packers, there's six. For Minnesota, there's five. For Seattle, there's 10. 10 one-score games. They have benefited from more breaks than anybody this season. Just because you win nine straight hands at blackjack doesn't mean you're an MIT expert playing blackjack. You caught a heater. That's where the Seahawks are. They're catching a heater. Two teams have missed game-winning field goals against them. Those two teams just do their job. If the kickers do their job, they're 8-4. That has nothing to do with Seattle playing well. Seattle needed to play a big game against Baltimore. Baltimore came to their house, took their lunch money. Bridgewater did the same thing. Cincinnati had to collapse late. Ben Roethlisberger had to get hurt in the second half. So many things have broken their way. The heater's going to end. I'm telling you right now.
But when does it end, Joke? Because it could still last all the way through January and into February.
No way. If it does, market right now, they're not going to be in the Super Bowl. I know that's not a bold take. I might, by the end of this rant, get to a point where I say they're not in the NFC Championship game. I do not see them. Someone's going to get them.
Bold.
They're not
going
to catch
the real
all these
bold
breaks.
Take if they bold. Don't. Because even if they go into the wild card round, they're still a dangerous team, in my opinion. Certainly against the likes of Dallas or Philly.
They've got a great quarterback. They've got playoff experience. They've got good defenders and guys like Bobby Wagner. They've got a good coach. They've got a lot of good things. This isn't to say they're bad. They're not the 10-2 team that there are. People look at New England right now, right? Okay, New England's 10-2. Seattle's 10-2. Everybody's down on New England. Why? Because they just watched them in primetime lose to Houston. Everybody's up on Seattle. Why? Because we just watched them in primetime beat the Minnesota Vikings. What's that called?
That's, recency bias.
There you go. You remember.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jim,
I take notes in your
attention.
Class, Joe. I'm Professor Joe.
Thank you. I take
notes, but let me also point out, if I look at the Patriots, I look at the bad performance they just had on a Sunday night. I look at the bad performance in a lucky victory over the Dallas Cowboys, who if they just had handed the ball to number 21 the whole game, the Cowboys would have come away with a win, and I see a very declining Tom Brady. That's why I'm down on the Patriots. I'm up on the Seahawks because they just win, baby.
All right.
Boom.
Thank you.
Hey, your Pythagorean theory, by the way, here's what I know about analytics. They're 10-2. That's the analytic I want. I if my team's winning one score games, that's fine with me.
All right.
Okay.
Don't demean the math as a predictor, though, for future successes, especially on the heels of you saying their schedule is so difficult. Just, you know, understand.
I think it's tougher than you think it is.
Yeah. And I think also that if they're 12-4, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs because of what you're saying with Russell Wilson and experienced team.
Remember, the same math, it's not, the math isn't guaranteed, and it's not a sexy topic because no one likes math except Andrew Yang, who wears a little math pin every time he gets up there.
He's really funny, by the way.
Point being, we're not going to go too deep down that. Point being, the math told you 2 years ago that the Browns were going to improve, and they did. And then the math told you last year the Browns were going to fall apart, and they did. These things, it's not just a gimmick. A lot of this, there are indicators. There are indicators to give you a better chance at making a prediction. It's not about guaranteeing it. It's not about being 100%. It's about finding a way to take a decision that could be a 58% probability and making it a 69% probability. Shout out Rob Gronkowski. That's the point. There's so much pointing to Seattle falling back. The Niners don't have that. The Niners' two losses came at the buzzer against good teams. Now, you're right. You can point to that Pittsburgh game, and if, what is it, Armstead doesn't cause that fumble, then guess what? They lose that game.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. There are a handful of games the Niners have had where they've benefited from big plays, but the Seahawks have benefited the most. It's a heater. You cannot maintain this. You cannot win this many one-score games. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible.
All right.
So let's go to the phones. I'm going to go with someone who disagrees. Rudy in Foster City. Rudy, thank you for the phone call and for taking the time out of your day. We appreciate it. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, Joe, Dibs, Coz, morning. Hey, I'm going to disagree with you, Joe, because I think Seattle has the it factor with Carroll and Wilson. I think the numbers that you bear out, I think, yeah, all right. But I think right now, with how they beat you is with the three phases of their team, basically. Special teams, defense, and offense. They find a way to make the play, basically. And as the season goes on, as the games get bigger, they're not afraid of those moments, you know. And my thing, being a 49er fan, is that I'm just uncertain about Shanahan at, you know, at critical moments of the game, succumbing to the game, basically. I mean, I think the only way the Niners can beat them is if they have the ball last and they score. I mean, I just think that they're going to find a way, whether it's special teams or defense or something to effect, where they're gonna find a way to go deep in the playoffs. And I really think, you know, I hope the Niners get to the championship game, whether it's through the wild card or being the number two or number one seed, basically, and hosting it. But Seattle just really bothers me, you know.
Appreciate the phone call. We can get into some basic stuff as well, too. The fact that Seattle's given up 29 points a game at home this season. Like, remember when home field up there was extremely tough?
Yep.
They're 4-2 at home this year. They're 4-2 straight up. It's 2-4 against the spread. Like, they've been outscored by 5 points on their home field this year. They don't stop anybody. They're giving up 29 points a game. They're vulnerable. They have the 29th ranked pass defense this season. They have made plays, but we're talking about eking it out against Cincinnati, eking it out against Tampa Bay. When you talk about them having good special teams, the Rams missed that field goal. That's not good Seattle special teams. The 49ers missed the field goal. That's not good Seattle special teams. Didn't Jason Myers miss that huge kick against Tampa Bay, and then it went to overtime, and the Bucs fumbled all over themselves like usual, and Seattle ended up winning that game? They could have just as easily lost it. That's the point. There's a lot there. This isn't to knock Carroll or the organization or Russ. Those guys are studs. They're a good team. They're just not the team that people think Baltimore is. Baltimore's legit, okay? Baltimore's the top of the food chain, and there's no way to argue against it. You can find cracks in the facade with other teams. The most cracks belong to Seattle, in my opinion.
I think matchup-wise, though, what they were able to put on tape against the 49ers gives them hope, especially if that game, not the Week 17 game, if it's a playoff game and that's in Seattle, they feel more confident than another team would. And we'll see what New Orleans can do. I think what we've been saying about pressuring Drew Brees helps the Niners in that matchup. Lowe always talks about styles making fights. I think if you're Seattle and you look at a matchup with the 49ers, you like your chances, even with all the things you're laying out.
I think that here's the thing. When you talk about styles making fights, shockingly, the team that I think that could give Seattle a lot of fits, even if it was in Seattle, would be Dallas. I think Dallas is one of those teams. Dallas just needs to get rid of the coach. The guy who makes the decisions is screwing up everything. The Cowboys are built to win games like that. They just have this idiot, this absolute buffoon of a guy who makes the wrong decision at every turn, and he doesn't even have to do anything during the games. He's not calling plays. He's not calling the defense. Belichick's doing, like, everything, if you've ever noticed that. Did you see him huddle the defense after Houston just ran through him on that opening drive? Huddled him on the sidelines, tried to get it together. The guy coaches. Mike Tomlin, there's a fascinating story about that Cleveland game, how at halftime he went right to the chalkboard in the locker room, and he brought the entire defense around, and he started drawing up what they were going to do differently. He came up with the scheme, and he coached it to them in about 5 minutes on a chalkboard, and then they went out and shut down Cleveland in the second half. That's coaching. You could get Garrett out of the way and just let the playmakers make plays. That's a team that could give Seattle problems. The problem is they can't get out of their way with the head coach. Did you know Garrett has now coached 4 more regular season games for the Dallas Cowboys than Bill Parcells and Jimmy Johnson combined?
Really?
Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, don't quote me. Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, I think it's 144 regular season games. Garrett's coached 148.
Boy, by the end
how
of this
how does that
thing,
make any sense any world?
You have me thinking Seattle's going to be in the lottery trying to get the first pick in the draft the way you're talking about Seattle, though. That's my point. I think Seattle's a really good team. I think they're so good that they're dangerous. I think there's a reason that they're very likely going to be the 2 seed in the NFC. I'm higher on them than you are. I know you're finding some statistical data, but again, you don't win 10 games by accident 12 games into the season.
McKay in San Ramon. McKay, welcome to the show, and thank you for the phone call. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Thank you. Joe, here's the thing. I know you're pointing to the scores, the final scores, and that's fine. But Seattle, you're missing the point. They're turning it over. So if you're going to say they're going to continue to turn it over 3 or 4 times a game, then you're right. They're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. But did you see what they did last night? They scored 24 unanswered points until they started turning it over. When Metcalf fumbled, they turned it over. And also against the 49ers. You guys don't mention the 49ers averaged 3.9 yards per play that entire game. So, yeah, they had a chance to kick a field goal to win the game, but Seattle turned it over four times and still won. How do you give up on Russell Wilson, who's been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, been to two Super Bowls? Come on, Joe!
Attaboy, McKay. Thank you, East Bay. Real East Bay getting it done in San Ramon.
Appreciate the phone call. At no point has any of this been directed at Russell Wilson. I have made it very clear from the beginning of the season until now, my love for Russell Wilson. I think he is extraordinary. None of this has to do with Wilson. Wilson's the reason they've won the 10 games. Wilson's the reason they've won it. You bring up some of those turnovers. You want to talk special teams and all that. Look at last night, the 24-point run. Dalvin Cook fumbles. Late in the game, Dan Bailey misses the extra point to cut it to three. Then somehow, some way, even though Zimmer mismanages the end of the first half and plays ultra-conservative and mismanages the end of the game with the timeout before 2 minutes, they still find a way to get the ball back down seven, and then they fumble the kick return. Like, stop telling me Seattle's great because these other teams are screwing up. Like, Tampa Bay urinating away that lead. That's not Seattle being great. That's Seattle just making a few less mistakes. When Seattle needs to go out and make the big play, that's where I think it comes down to hurting them. That's right. Where I think it's going to get them.
We'll see if they need to do that in the final four games.
A lot of anti-Joe here. I'd like to find some pro-Joe, but it doesn't really seem like it.
Sorry. The billions are speaking through the phone lines, Joe.
Well, two of the billions. Very small sample size so far. Corey in Burlingame. Corey, welcome to the show. Thanks for the call. What are your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing? You guys are great. I just moved down here from Seattle actually about a month ago.
Welcome.
Nothing but love. But I will say, no coaches I ever had growing up ever told me, hey, if you win barely, you're not winning at all. A win is a win, and we are kicking butt. We're turning it up right now.
There you go.
Great.
I think Corey has said it all.
Go back to Seattle. How about that? How about that commentary?
Well, welcome to town. Go back home. That's how we are here. Hey, go back to the 206.
Welcome to town. Pay your taxes and your exorbitant rent and
you'll
sit
that
in your traffic and deal with the rain. Welcome. Great to have you.
This is a sunny day for a guy moving down to Seattle, though. He's probably got the sunscreen on.
Exactly.
SPF 30 kind of weather.
I do like that, though. If you've moved here, if you're from Seattle, call the show. We'd love to hear from all you guys. Edgar in Concord. Edgar, thanks for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Fire away.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I got to say, I was front row at that game, and it feels like I'm the only one who remembers it. We were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. We didn't have Kittle. Sanders got hurt, and then that's when the game started going downhill because Jimmy just didn't really have any options out there. We were murdering those guys before Sanders got hurt. It was really felt very boring, to be honest with you. I think we go up to Seattle and we blow those guys out, period.
Because there's nothing at stake, and Seattle will have already clinched the division.
All right. That's just trolling. It's a nice, reasonable conversation, here you come over the top.
But there's a good chance that could happen. Russell Wilson's going to be on the sideline with nothing but earmuffs on a chilly day.
It's certainly a possibility. This isn't for me to make the case that the Niners are the better team. It's to make the case that the Niners are built to be able to withstand what this team can offer. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Niners and Ravens getting back together in the Super Bowl goes well for the Niners. I think the best shot they had was in the rain against Lamar Jackson. I think the weather's better, and in Miami, there's no guarantee. I think the situation gets worse. I honestly do. Wow. Baltimore is that good. This isn't me sitting here trying to make the pro-Niner argument. I'm looking at the rest of the landscape, and there are teams I think you can beat. At New Orleans this week, I like you to win that game. I'll take the 3 points. Drew Brees went down hard against the Falcons and the Cowboys. The two teams that generated the most pressures against the Saints this year were the teams that held them to their worst offensive outputs, and both those games happened in the Dome. This is not a night game, by the way. This is not going to be a primetime game. This is an early game. You can only do so much drinking in New Orleans before this game starts. You can do plenty, don't get me wrong, but you can't do as much as you can do before Sunday night game.
Test me, my man.
Two hurricanes, and I'm full voice.
Yes, challenge accepted. Point being, you have a better chance of winning this game. That Ravens game, you tell me right now they're going to meet each other in Miami. I don't even care what the point spread is. I'm I'm not going to come on here. I can sell you on the reasons why, but I might not believe that. The Seattle thing, that's different. I've given you all the reasons. I do not believe they are as good as their record indicates.
Is there another game out there then that you would look at for the Niners and think this is going to be too tough for them maybe to overcome? Because you think New Orleans is a good matchup. Atlanta, even they're so up and down, you should win that. The Rams will be done by then.
You're talking about the rest of just the schedule.
And the into the playoffs as well. Is there a game short of a Baltimore matchup that has you pause to this level?
The idea of, and I don't think it's realistic, but the idea of playing in Minnesota, it has to be in Minnesota. That would worry me a bit because they can, the crowd noise is a major factor. They can run. They're balanced offensively. Thielen would have to be healthy. And defensively, they can play well. There's balance there. I think that the formula to beating the Niners is you have to be very well-rounded. Green Bay's not well-rounded. They have a bad defense. That's a problem. The Saints...
That was my question. If Minnesota's on one side with the dome and the running game, can't you say the same thing about New
Orleans?
The
Saints are another team that I find interesting. I think the defense can play a much bigger role in a game like this than they could in Baltimore. The defense was great against Baltimore, but even being the best anyone's been against Lamar Jackson this year still wasn't enough to win that game. And that's the rain slowing him in that offense down.
I'm on the opposite side of that. If they meet in the Super Bowl and it's a fresh track and I don't have to worry about weather.
Nice weather, we'll say.
I like the 49ers defense being able to pin their ears back and do a little bit more damage. I think you're walking on skates when you're playing in the rain the way it was coming down. And the offense is at the advantage that way. They know where they're going. The defense has to react. You give me a fresh track with those bad boys on the front seven for the 49ers. I'll take the 49ers defense.
It's interesting, though, because the one thing that we've seen over these mobile quarterbacks they face is you really can't pin your ears back because if you get upfield, and that's where Nick Bosa has been somewhat neutralized, I think, is he likes to just pin him back and get upfield,
right.
Come around the corner, and then get to the quarterback. If you do that against Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, we saw, gash him in the run game as well. They slip underneath, and they run for 7 or 10 or 12 yards. And so I think to Joe's point, on a fast track, you still can't play that same way, the same way you're going to play this Sunday.
As hard as the 49ers played defensively, and there were some hard hits in that game.
Oh, my God.
That's part of the reason I think this coming game is going to be that much tougher for the 49ers. They spent a lot of physical and emotional energy in that game in Baltimore. It is tough to do that two times on the road, and you're spending the week away from home. This is where things
get really
dicey.
That's been an advantage to them, though. The team building, the bonding, the no distractions. There's no family. You're just kind of focused on football and staying loose.
You beat Tampa and Cincinnati. That ain't the same as playing Baltimore, a physical team just as physical as you are, and then going to play an offense that's just as potent as
you're likely, though, to get pieces back. Staley looks like he should be up, and you would hope that D Ford is able to play
Breida,
as well. So
all on track.
And if Breida is able to play in the dome, and I think Tevin Coleman's going to have a bigger impact as well because he was neutralized, I think, in part by the conditions, which is why you saw so much Mostert.
John Clayton in 4 minutes. Terrell Owens at 8:30. Let's go back to the Billions. Benji and Gilroy. Benji, thank you for the phone call and welcome to the show. The floor is yours.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning. I'm calling about the Seahawks and the 49ers game earlier this season. I think a lot of one thing that nobody's really pointing out is that game went into deep overtime, and it was a good game. But I think one of the things that I know the kicker missed the field goal and all that, we had mistakes or whatever, but I think one of the things that a lot of people are not pointing out is that the 49ers were hurt going into this game. George Kittle was out. Emmanuel Sanders went out. Matt Breida went out. Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey were coming back off the injuries, and they were looking rusty. And the kicker was out. So I think for the Seahawks, the way they won all the way deep in overtime to barely win by 3 points, I think that says a lot about them. I think they don't stand a chance. The last game of the season, if the 49ers go in there healthy, I think they win. And I also think the 49ers win this Sunday against the Saints. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Appreciate the phone call. The injury thing, you can bring that up, and if Kittle's healthy, you're going to have a much better chance of beating the Seahawks down the road. I don't want to focus on that. When you lose that game, I don't want to focus on, well, this guy didn't play. I would prefer to focus on the fact that you had the ball late, and you had every opportunity to prevent Seattle from getting the ball back and having an opportunity to score, and you didn't do that. Now, you wanted to play aggressive? Fine. That's your choice, and you live with it. We all move on. No one's perfect with the decision-making, but you could have made the field goal. With the guys you had the opportunity to win. They were better that night. They found a way to make one less mistake. That's just happened so many times for the Seahawks. That run's going to end. It's going to end at the worst possible time for them. whether it be week 17 with the division on the line or whether it be the playoffs. Leo in Oakland. Leo, thank you for the phone call and welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Yes. You know what, man? You talking about the Seahawks going down. What's wrong with you, man? I've been living in Oakland all my life. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan. Yes, that is fortunate that I am. My blood is blue. Seahawks are going to win. When they won the Super Bowl, they were winning like games like 4 points, 3 points, 2 points. And they had the same kind of pedigree right now. And 49ers not even going to win this weekend against the Saints. What is wrong with you? Get a grip, man. Come on. Go blue.
Leo, were you a kid when the Raiders were in L.A.? I'm wondering what happened to have hurt you so to where you became a Seattle fan?
Well, listen, it goes back to 1979. The original number 37, Eric Lane, was the running back. That's my godbrother from Hayward.
Okay.
You remember him?
That's fair.
Shout out Hayward. We'll allow it then. Thank you for the phone call, Leo. We got the professor on hold, but I had to get the backstory, Joe.
Yeah,
on how,
I agree.
How someone from the nickel and dime becomes a Seahawks fan. That was a good reason.
The year they won the Super Bowl, they beat Dallas by 20. They beat... Where is it here? They lost to the Niners that year, believe it or not. They beat, as I work my way down, Minnesota by 10. They beat the Jets by 21. They beat the Cardinals by 58. They beat the Bills by 33. They beat the Niners at the end of the season by 29. And then they beat the Rams by 7. So, no, it wasn't the same as this year. All of that winning by one score, it was not the same thing. Very different Seahawks makeup this year than then. That's obvious. But, you know, we take all opinions and we value all of you equally. Thank you so much for your support.
Look at you.
You are listening.
So accepting.
Bring them all in. Bring them all in. The haters, the people who oppose it, whatever it may be, love taking the phone call. So you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us today. Lowe out. Feeling a bit under the weather, hopefully back soon. Jim Cozumore in his stead. Terrell Owens set to join us in about 30 minutes, but right now we go to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. One of the best in the business, NFL Insider. He's a host on 710 ESPN Seattle. Check out the podcast, Schooled with the Professor. John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Professor, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for your time. We'll jump into this because we're discussing it now. You're up front and center with this Seattle Seahawks team. They're 10-2 on the year. You've watched them from start to finish. How good are they in the hierarchy of the NFL's elite teams?
No, they're good. I mean, you know, they're not great. They're getting better on defense, but I know when you give up 30 points, it doesn't look like you're growing good on defense. But they're resilient, and they know how to win. And so because of that, now they've got the 10-2 record. You know, they've got the game coming up against the Rams that could eliminate the Rams from the playoffs coming up on Sunday night. And then after that, you know, winnable games in Carolina and Arizona. And what they've been able to do is, you know, battle a lot of different things. And with Russell Wilson, he gets everything fixed in the end. But now the running game's starting to go. The offensive line's getting a little bit better. And the Seahawks are right now at 10-2, sitting pretty good.
Both Seattle and San Francisco having lost to Baltimore, and based on what you saw from that Sunday morning game against the Ravens, where do you put the 49ers as it pertains to Seattle? Are they 1-1A in the NFC, in your opinion?
Maybe 2-2A, because you still have to look at New Orleans. I mean, you know, I know that they've kind of, you know, dropped down a little bit. They're 13th on offense. But, you know, and again, this New Orleans-San Francisco game on Sunday I think is going to be a proving ground. But, you know, if that's going to be the case, you have to put New Orleans number one because they came to Seattle and won the game there. And then if they can beat San Francisco, they'd be number one. But I'd say right now, you know, it's probably 2-2A with San Francisco and Seattle.
You know, you look at the 49ers, and they had such a physical, emotional battle against Baltimore. They're going to spend the week in Florida, then they're going to go into the Big Easy and try to take on Drew Brees. How hard is it when you give so much physically and emotionally 1 week in a game, and there was so much spotlight on that Ravens game, to try to duplicate that in an equally as important game against New Orleans?
It's tough, but I think that's where the 49ers, you know, at least show that they are tough. They are able to battle because, I mean, you go back to that Monday night game against the Seahawks and look how many injuries they suffered during those games. And look how this team has been able to bounce back, you know, despite the injuries. I mean, they've had, what, now 3-4 physical games that have really kind of tapped their depth, and they've been able to respond. And so, no, I think it's going to be tough because that was a very physical game against Baltimore, just like it was against San Francisco. That's the thing I find amazing about how well the 49ers are doing. I mean, if you go back to the Arizona game, the Thursday night game, the Monday night game against Seattle, I mean, they were up to like 8 to 10 injuries. And to be able to, you know, hold up and play good football despite that, I think that says a lot of good things about this team.
John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to talk about the Ravens for a second. There are some who feel that eventually the Baltimore offense will be figured out and that the Lamar Jackson fad will come to an end. There are others that believe this could be the wave of the future and that this could be what NFL teams are looking to build moving forward. How do you see this? What are you hearing from people in the industry? Is this the type of offense that can sustain through multiple years, or will the adjustments come quickly?
No, I think it can sustain because I think what you're seeing is that you're getting more running quarterbacks. And then if you really go through and talk to the different teams this year, they're all having problems with running quarterbacks. I mean, you saw it with the two games against Arizona, the Seattle game, and now the Baltimore game, that the defense has a tough time trying to figure out exactly how to handle these running quarterbacks. And they're not alone. I mean, Seattle had those problems. Minnesota's had those problems. And everybody's having those problems. And so the question is, can you find the right quarterback to be able to do the running and do the passing? I mean, the great part about Lamar Jackson is now how unique he is, because we know he's probably one of the best running quarterbacks we've seen. But now to think how well he's throwing out of the pocket, and the combination of the two is one of the reasons they're sitting now with the number one seed in the AFC.
From the most mobile to perhaps one of the most immobile, Tom Brady and the Patriots, how are they continuing to get it done at such a high level with Tom Brady clearly getting into the final stretch of his career?
Well, I mean, the defense right now, I think, is the thing that is keeping things going, because they don't have much on offense. And now you have to put that on Bill Belichick, because when you look at the receiving core, and I think you saw it in the one little scene where he's on the bench and, you know, he gets the word separation out there to his receivers. This is kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of like 2 years ago, where you have Dak Prescott holding onto the ball too long because he didn't have any wide receivers that could at least go out and separate from a cornerback. And I think that's one of the things that's going on, because you look at that receiving group. I mean, you have Julian Edelman, who you can double and kind of take out, but who else do you have? The tight end position is totally depleted. You know, they're a little bit less talented on the offensive line. And so, you know, and Brady is starting to show his age. I'm not saying that he's done or anything like that. That would be totally wrong to do that. But what does he really have to throw to other than Edelman?
John, I want to bring it back to the Bay Area. If you look at the 49ers, is there a flaw or a soft spot or some area where you say, you know what, that's where it could fall apart? In a big game, in a close matchup, there's one area where they have a little bit of a deficiency. Where is it in the 49ers?
I think, you know, you may be a little bit on the other side of Richard Sherman. I think that's still a big question mark. Maybe, you know, the second and third linebacker. I mean, obviously, Fred Warren is coming a Pro Bowl caliber season, and he's really come on and at the right time, because, I mean, the loss of Kwame Alexander, I thought, was really going to hurt them. But, you know, one more injury at linebacker could really be a major problem. That could be there. And then, of course, I mean, you know, how Jimmy Garoppolo, as good as he's been, and he's been very good, you know, if you can get pressure on him, force the incompletions and force the missed throws, you know, that could be there. But overall, I mean, this team, I think, is more solid than anybody has anticipated. I mean, you think about where it's been from the second-worst team in football last year, now to a team that it can go on the road, almost win in Baltimore, you know, battle Seattle, do all those different things. I mean, I like this team a lot.
John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's always difficult to speculate on this sort of thing, so I'm going to try to dance around it in the most respectful way I can, but it feels as if there are going to be several head coaching vacancies in the near future, as we see each and every season. I know there's controversy in Jacksonville, Carolina, the Giants, Chicago may be a bit iffy. How many vacancies do you think could open up reasonably this offseason?
Yeah, I just had to do this on Monday for the Washington Post, and I had as many as 8, and that doesn't count Bill Callahan, the interim coach of the Washington Redskins. And that's why, you know, Thanksgiving weekend was not a feast for coaches on the hot seat. Because, I mean, first off, you have 3 coaches that have been there, you know, longer than some of the current group, and they're all...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.